There might be a temptation today for some of you to think, or having heard this before, that this gospel, in some way, Jesus had a bad day, or that he really thought this woman was a dog, or he had no problem, you know, putting down foreigners, or something like that. And that certainly can be a temptation at the first sight to believe that. But without getting too far into it, I do want to assure you from the outset, if Jesus is truly God, which is what we believe, I very highly doubt and think it almost renders Jesus not divine if he somehow was just having a bad day and slipped up, or really just thought it was okay to be a little misogynist or something like that. Well, his way of speaking may have been tongue-in-cheek, and I think in the context and time, it makes much more sense. Many of the fathers, when they have read this passage, have seen much more that Jesus was testing this woman's faith, and deep down had very little belief or thought or consideration that this really woman was really a dog or an unworthy person or that something was wrong with her. And that's where I'd like to set out today. That I think that this really is about the testing of faith. It's really kind of an encouragement, an exhortation to be not afraid, to strive for what this woman, having lived probably half or a good chunk of her life without any kind of faith, comes to today in a very short time, while for many of us it may take a lot longer. He says to her, and these words resound not just about her today, but I think in a deeper and maybe even more real way about the church as well, when he says, "O woman, great is your faith." There are certainly many women throughout the ages that we could say that of. In kind of a metaphorical sense, many faithful as members of the bride of Christ, the church as well. We can certainly say that of Mary. We could certainly say that of many hidden men and women, souls perhaps unknown to our minds, but certainly who have strived for Christ. And let us make these words hopeful that they be said of us one day. O woman, or perhaps man of God, great is your faith. I think the first thing we could learn from this woman today is a very simple lesson, but a very tough one. And this might even kind of slip our consideration. First of all, the fact that this woman is calling out to Jesus already means she's overcome probably some real obstacles in her life. And the first one is just a small detail in the beginning of this gospel that for the most part probably just kind of slips our mind. For years, many of you have probably heard these words, Jesus goes to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Oh, that's nice. Well, I know that that's somewhere over there. And I, like probably many of you, for many times, just said, well, that's where Jesus was at. But finally, it kind of got to me. I said, well, it has to mean something. And if you know anything about ancient geography or the time of Jesus, you might be aware that Tyre and Sidon were two fairly well-off, rich cities, actually outside the territory of Israel. And so they were not Jewish people nor of Jewish descent, but they were in fact pagans. They worshipped many gods. But on top of that, it was a region that was very rich because they were two coastal towns. And as oftentimes happens with coastal towns or port cities, for example, New York, Los Angeles, in our own time, Hong Kong, these cities throughout the world and these big ports that receive and export, there's lots of money. There's lots of distraction. There's lots of people living what you might say is the high life. They got it well. And I think that the first obstacle to faith that this woman overcame today is precisely that, that she was in the midst of luxury, of promise, of a good life. She probably could have run to all sorts of doctors or curers of her time to help her daughter, and maybe they could have pacified whatever was going on. And yet, somehow, she saw in Jesus something that no amount of dollars, no thing she could buy, no doctor she could seek out could buy. In fact, it's funny because Jesus also says in the scriptures, you cannot love God and mammon. And what an obstacle to faith that riches or money or mammon can become. Take this lesson to heart. Because though none of us here would probably claim to make money our God or to worship money or something like that, the amount of money in our country and that maybe even in our daily lives can often be a great distraction. Sometimes I will hear people say to me, I got to pay this bill and this thing is going on, and they spend so much of their day focused on the things they own, on responsibilities, and so many things that when we die won't matter a bit. And it's a great reminder that maybe sometimes it might be good for some of us to simplify or to worry less, or if something breaks, life will go on. But if we could get past a little bit of that distraction of the riches and the goods, our faith might grow a little more. The second thing, and again, this is kind of a hidden detail, but I think it's very important, is that if this woman lived in Tyre and Sidon, this rich, very well-to-do culture, they also had many gods. Oftentimes, the gods of old were kind of a way of seeking out the life I wanted, of looking for some kind of good luck, of trying to get ahead in the game. But they didn't necessarily lead too far. Again, for many people, they could just become a distraction. They were a way of making myself feel better, or, you know, as you can tell, there's not too many pagan religions today, so they seem to maybe have lacked any kind of eternal importance. Likewise, today you and I are surrounded by new ideas, philosophies, maybe not pagan religions, but many different ideas about God. In fact, we often hear, isn't the Father and some other God of some other religion, aren't they all the same? You know, you believe in this guy and we believe in that guy, and aren't they kind of all the same? And quite honestly, those ways of thinking can sometimes be a way of pacifying our own, you know, concerns. But it can also just be a lack of knowing my faith, or a lack of knowing the true God. It can also be a lack of discernment, a lack of really dedicating time to God to say, God, are you who we proclaim you are? How many times have we heard, sadly, when is the church going to change? And I ask you, O people of God, is it the church, i.e. also God, that needs to change, or is it we that need to change? This dear woman teaches us a great lesson in faith today. Base not your faith in man, or what man says, or the popular opinion, or what might win you favor, but listen to your hearts. Investigate what you believe. Take time to ask the Lord, are you real? Is this the right path? Because how many times even our fellow Catholics and Christians are being led astray by different ideas. And one of the challenges is that it's, you know, that it does not lead to genuine faith. Oftentimes we're putting faith in things, for instance, in men or women, in I don't know, other things that really don't lead to happiness and salvation. And this poor woman today perhaps recognized something that many of us may still struggle to recognize at times. She recognized that Jesus was the true God. I think, and again, that's why he tests her faith. I think it has much more to do with why he would say, you know, throw that, I'm here for the children, not throw the food to the dogs. Because he wants people to see what real faith looks like. He wants to see that this woman truly believes that he's Lord, or that's the faith that she comes to. And finally, I think this woman overcomes this. Certainly the words of Christ had to be stinging, and many people would even interpret them as insulting, as Jesus just putting her off or misunderstanding her. And whether it was that maybe other people, particularly maybe other Jewish people, would have seen her really as a dog because she was a pagan, which was a common belief. Or I would also posit to you that maybe this was her own belief. In fact, I think there's a lot of reason to believe that her daughter was possessed by a demon. Guess what? Most children don't go to witch doctors or do things that bring demons into their lives. When children are possessed, and this is kind of a thing that you could ask people who have worked in this today, it is oftentimes because of their parents. In fact, that's oftentimes the number one factor of why a child would be suffering from demonic oppression or possession. Probably this woman had given herself, lowered her dignity, accepted some kind of maybe abusive relationship or way of living, that ultimately maybe she was at least at one time living like a dog, or saw herself as less than a woman, as somebody to just be used or something like that. How else does the demon come into her family? Perhaps through her husband, although we have no indication of that. And when Jesus says, this food does not belong to the dogs, what he's doing is he's calling her to a higher place. He's saying, do you really believe that you are a dog? You are this lowly, no good for nothing person? Or would you like to become a child of God? Would you like to become my followers? Who do not eat the food of dogs anymore, but eat the food of the children of God. And perhaps that's also what he says to some of us. Do you want to grow in faith? Do you want to come to know me? Do not accept ways of living, things in your life that take away your dignity. Do not accept lies and things that people might tell you, or ways that people might treat you, that make you less than a child of God, that maybe make you live in a dirty or dog-like way. You know, and we still have this today, don't we? I mean, think about somebody who suffers with an addiction. Oftentimes underneath that, I have just accepted that I'm a person that's not worth a good life. I'm not worth being loved or worth maybe recovery and getting out of this. How many people have accepted they've been treated poorly all their life, and they just continue to accept it? Faith in Christ can free those people, and it can free us. So we pray today that we too may be called to greater faith, that we may say yes to the Lord. May we no longer be controlled by riches, by false ideas, or even degrading ways of living. false ideas about ourselves, anything that can steal our faith. Listen to these words of Christ. O woman, great is your faith. O woman, you who have overcome many obstacles and trials, great is your faith, because now you know that truly I, Jesus, am the Lord of the universe. I have come to call you unto myself. And he frees her child, just as he wishes to free all of us. Let us pray today that as we find ourselves in the midst of trials and difficulties and distress, make this woman, may we not be afraid to respond in faith. Amen.